All right, Ron. I mean, every quarterback's important in any playoff game, of course, but this most people view as a mismatch between the teams and a mismatch between the quarterbacks. So if Ben can get off to a good start in this game, have a consistently good game from the start, instead of merely, and it's merely is the wrong word, but instead of just finishing great, I think he needs to play very good through the whole game. I think an early drive, an early touchdown drive, I think changes the dynamic a little bit. You?
Yeah, you can't. They've scored one first half touchdown in six of the last seven games. I mean, one of the last seven games, 6 of 7, they didn't score one.
Right.
The only one they got a first half touchdown in Cleveland, against Cleveland. So you can't start slow like that. You're going to have to score some points to beat Mahomes, because no defense is going to totally shut him down. So Ben's got to figure out a way.
They've scored 30 points one time the whole season, by my calculations. I think that was in the loss to the Chargers, if I'm right about
right,
that.
Right, I think so.
So let's hear Ben with reporters today. Ron or I can interrupt the conversation anytime we want to have a little conversation of our own. Here's Ben.
Yeah, I wish I would have went to bed instead of stayed up and watched it, the stress. But what a crazy, crazy game, crazy ending. You know, you go into the evening excited about getting in, and then your hopes start to dwindle there for a little while. And then in the last drive, you really think they're going to play for the tie. But there's other plans out there. We haven't discussed it, but I think, you know, I would assume as a group you understand that, you know, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens.
Hold up, horse. Ron, I've been thinking about this term, and I think I even used it, playing with house money. But then I start to think about it. I mean, is Joe Hayden playing with house money? This might be his last chance ever to win a Super Bowl. Is Ben? He could put himself his legacy is secure, but he could put himself, this is his last shot to win a Super Bowl. He could put himself in a different stratosphere with a third Super Bowl win. Any other veteran around here, this might be the last shot they have. I don't know. Is Cam Hayward going to get back for another one? Who knows? Will TJ Watt? Go ask Dan Marino if he ever got back to another Super Bowl. So I don't know that it's just like carefree. They've got, you know, nothing really at stake compared with the other teams. It's just house money. I don't know if I fully believe that.
I don't. They have everything to lose, too. You know, they want their season to continue. They don't want to have it become 5 years without a playoff win. Absolutely, they have something to lose. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, they're favored, or, you know, if they do lose, that it'll be, if they play competitively, it won't be a total embarrassment, but they have something to lose, I think.
How about Trey Turner? Does he have, quote, nothing to lose? He's got a lot to lose. Maybe the last time he'll ever be in the playoffs. Who knows? I don't.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I have mixed feelings about that. Go ahead, Horsey.
Yeah, that's a signed Shane Leckler and Sebastian Janikowski helmet that I had, and I put it on just for fun on the last drive, just to tease my guy that was we were FaceTiming with. So, it, as you can see, it didn't fit very well. Yeah, they do. And I want to just pass along my, you know, words of wisdom to them. It's kind of one of those things where, you know, you never really know if you're going to get a chance to get back. And when I tell them that, they look at me like, well, you've been here 12 times in 18 years. It's kind of, I just try to reiterate to them that you just got to appreciate, you got to understand it, that you have to go out there and just fully commit everything to it, because every mistake is magnified. And but you got to go have fun at the same time. So, hopefully they all understand, and I think they do.
Does this have any 2005 vibes?
That was so long ago. A lot of these guys were, what, in middle school or elementary school, and that was going on. So, yeah, I mean, A little bit. I think that team was a really good football team, and you know, we're not as good of a football team as we were then. But you know, anything can happen.
Were you able to appreciate in 05 what Jerome was going through at that time, or are you still just too young and being somewhat like some of these guys?
Probably a lot like what these guys are. I mean, I wanted to go win it for Jerome, you know, because you know what he meant. Maybe they feel the same way. I don't know. It's not like Jerome ever came to me and said, guys, let's go win it for me. He didn't have to say that. We wanted to win it for him anyway. And so I think I understood wanting to win it for him, but I was only 2 years with Jerome, so I didn't have the, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10-year relationship with him like some of those guys did. I wish I would have had. But, you know, you just at that point you just want to go win a football game too.
Ben, had you given any thought to like the similarity to maybe Indy in 05? You know, you lost to them early in the year. They were the number one seed.
I didn't even put all those things together. I mean, I know what we did, but thank you. I appreciate that. you know what? Like I said, and I don't want to take anything away from this team, but that was a pretty good football team. We had some Hall of Famers on it and stuff. Not that we don't have some really good football players here, but, you know, we have a long way to go to compare ourselves to that team, in my opinion.
All right, Horse. That's interesting, Ron. I mean, it's obvious and true, but it's just interesting that Ben says the plain truth. We're just not as good as that team was.
They're not a very good team. You know, they did enough to get into the playoffs, and they could win a game. They could win two games, I guess, but they're still not a very good team right now. And they have some time to get there. Be like you said, score a little bit early might change the thinking a little bit. But, you know, look at the point differential for them this year. I think only Detroit was worse. Look at the blowout losses. You know, they're just not a good team. Are they good enough to get into the playoffs? Barely, but they did. But are they a good team compared to that one in 05? I don't think so.
I know. It's just interesting to hear the quarterback say it so graphically and plainly. But I actually like it. It's just true. This is a franchise that prides itself on great defenses and on great defense, period. In the last three playoff games, the Steelers' last three playoff games, they've given up 129 points. There were seasons, I bet you there were seasons where it was close to that at the end of the year.
Absolutely.
129 points?
That's what I said. I mean, they were favored, and they're blown out by the Browns, blown out by Jacksonville at home.
And New England got 36 in the AFC title game.
Yeah, that was in New England, but I mean, maybe this will be the year they go in as the decided underdog and can pull off the surprise.
Wow. And I know the offense gave up at least one of those, two of those touchdowns, right? There was the Pouncey snap and there was the Ben fumble against Jacksonville.
But I mean, even against Cleveland last year, Ben threw three interceptions on the first six possessions.
Yes. And he threw an early one against Jacksonville as well that Miles Jack got at the Steelers 18.
That was a great play by Miles Jack, if I remember correctly. It doesn't matter. It still was an interception. But if I remember, that was on the sideline. It was just a great play.
Orsi?
I mean, I hope so. I mean, I hope we don't go in there and get blown out by 20 or 30 points. You know, we'll get – I don't think Pat didn't play in the first one. And we'll – you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, they didn't have guys playing there on their team either. So – from what I understand, I'm sure both teams will be close to full strength as you can get this time of year. And, you know, we'll just go, hope we can keep it close.
Is there something to knowing how to win a playoff game? Or is it a game, but it's just intensified? Is there a knack to knowing how to win a playoff game?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I try to tell some of the young guys, is every mistake is magnified. Even a third down drop can be magnified, you know, because – the other team you're playing is a really good football team too, obviously. And so they can capitalize on your mistakes. So I've been in a lot of these games where the team that makes the fewest mistakes is going to win. You know, just try and tell those guys that, listen, we got to go out there and you got to play free and have fun, play football, but understand that it does even get a little bit faster and the intensity does pick up. Oh, it's special. You know, I think no one knew if we were going to be here, you know, and I didn't know if I'd be talking to you guys again, and I'm lucky I get to talk to you guys again and everything. And so all these things, we're lucky. We get to do another week of meetings, another week of practice, another week of working out together, like all this stuff. And so I just try and you know, never take it for granted and, you know, enjoy every minute of it because we don't know if we'll be here next week.
You went in there in 16 and won, you know, to get the AFC Championship game. Do you remember much about
that? No, I don't. Sorry. I don't remember. I don't think back too much. Sorry.
Hold on a second, horse. Ron, I remember that game. That was a game that the Steelers did not score a touchdown and yet won.
Yeah, and the one play I remember is a big third down late when I thought they were going to lose, and Ben completed the short pass on the sideline to Antonio Brown, and they were able to run out the clock. That's the one play from that game. That was a big-time throw and catch.
Big time.
But they didn't.
But the one play I remember, all
field goals, you're right.
The one play I remember is Alex Smith converting a two-point conversion to tie the game, but it was called back on holding. Eric Fisher
James Harrison. Right.
They had the game tied, Ron. They did. If memory serves, yeah, pass failed. It would have been 18-18. So with 2:43 left, the Chiefs actually scored what could have been the tying touchdown and two-point conversion instead. Ben and Antonio run out the clock.
That was a big play. I've forgotten about the two-point conversion. We were talking earlier about can T.J. Watt torment their tackles the way James Harrison tormented Eric Fisher?
6 field goals for Boswell that day. 6 of them. And that, of course, was the year where the Steelers sort of snuck into the playoffs, right? Where they lost to Ryan Mallett late, I believe, that year. No, that was the year they actually were good. It was the year before they snuck in and barely beat the Bengals. This was the year that Le'Veon Bell carried them.
Right.
All the way to the AFC title game.
Right.
He had a great game that game, too, as I recall. What do you have?
Franchise record back-to-back weeks.
170 yards.
Postseason franchise record.
Be nice if Najee had a similar game, wouldn't it?
Sure would. He's only had one like that this year, the Cleveland game 2 weeks ago.
He did have 90-something against KC, but a lot of them were late yards, it felt like.
Yeah. When you're down 36-3, they're probably going to give you a few yards, right?
He's capable. He's capable of a big day, catching the ball and running the ball. He is.
Hopefully,
and their offensive line has changed for the better, I think, since the last game.
Hopefully, Najee's arm will be okay, his elbow, because that could be problematic, although he came back in the other day.
You know who else we didn't give enough credit to the other day?
Who?
General Haig. He stepped in at left tackle again.
Did well. And what did Tomlin call him? The Swiss Army knife yesterday. Could use him at every different position. I'll tell you, and I'm guilty of this too. We made fun of Ray a lot this year, a lot. He was a big contributor in that game with those two catches and that punt return as well.
There's no doubt that Ray came through. I mean, that was not a great throw, and Ben was, you know, good to get it around. Who was it? Calais Campbell.
And he also had a 20-yard catch on a third down play.
He did.
And then he had the 23-yard punt return to set up their touchdown from the 50.
I give him tons of credit. Steelers' leading tackler, or one of them in that Kansas City playoff game, was Ryan Shazier. I'm just looking at that box score right now. Bud Dupree, Ryan Shazier, James Harrison, Sean Davis.
We talk about what could have been with so many different teams and guys. We were talking earlier, as great as Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, how much better could it have been? How good could it have been with Shazier?
Great question.
How good could it have been?
You know who else got a tackle in that game, Ron? Jarvis Jones. This was not a great Steeler defense. It wasn't. Shazier was a great player. Harrison was at the tail end. Then you had Ross Cockrell, Mike Mitchell, Sean Davis, Artie Burns. Vince Williams was a good player. William Gay at the very tail end of his career. Jarvis Jones. That was not a good defense, as Brady proved
the
next
week. Right.
Yes.
And Le'Veon was hurt, but that I don't think it would have mattered.
Me neither. All right, Horace, can we pick that up after we come back here? We'll pick it up with Ben, who again was asked about just the position that they're in as a heavy, heavy underdog going into this game. I can promise you he's never been a double-digit underdog going into a playoff game. I wonder what the spread was on that New England game, Ron. Would you like me to look that up real time right now? I can look it up in seconds.
Sure, I would like to hear it. I don't think it was double digits, and certainly was re-reported yesterday from fan-sided that this is the biggest point spread differential in wild card history. Now, maybe it was. That was in an AFC championship game. We're talking wild card game with
right.
this 12.5. I mean, I'm obviously the Joe Namath Super Bowl was
18,
I believe. So
that game, the AFC title game, Steelers-Patriots was 5.5. That was a Steeler team that appeared to be on a big-time roll at that
right.
point.
Well, we didn't know that Le'Veon would not get out of the first quarter, though.
True. Or that LeGarrette Blount would score a touchdown in that game. I remember going up to his locker after the game. You know who interviewed him? And it was very odd as I witnessed it.
Who?
Hines. Hines was interviewing LeGarrette Blount about the Patriots' culture compared to the Steelers. It was surreal to be in that locker room.
Well, you know, we're doing all these comparisons. You know, there's a guy that scored a touchdown against the Steelers. Could Melvin Ingram be a big factor in this game
for
the Chiefs? He made a big play last week, right?
Yep.
How about that? Would that be something if he'd sack Ben or make a big play?
The guy who apparently was the flashpoint in that whole situation is very capable of a big game, too, and that's Highsmith. There's just flashes here and there of
right.
him being
really good.
I'd love to see it for a full game. Funny, being in that Patriots locker room, Ron, we always hear about how dour things are day-to-day in New England. They look like they were enjoying themselves because they were going to the Super
Bowl. They're going again.
Looked like a pretty lively locker room to me.
It's amazing how winning does, you know, we don't have any fun during the week, but we'll have a lot of fun going to the Super Bowl.
You know what I did that day, Ron?
What?
Woke up early, went out to Foxborough. They have the little mall out there next to the stadium. Went and watched a movie, watched the other games, went out to eat at one of the little restaurants. But I was saving myself for the spread at Foxborough Stadium.
Oh, it's good.
What do they call that place? Gillette Stadium.
Clam chowder.
Clam chowder. New England clam chowder, I might add. Croissants with lobster roll. Dunkin' Donuts coffee and enough pastries to last you a year.
And you are well known as a pastry man.
Phenomenal.
There we go up here. Snow coming Sunday into Monday. Chance of big snow.
But also a chance not of big snow.
Just what I need trying to get back from Kansas City on Monday.
All right, Ron. Let's listen to the rest of Ben. Coming up next, had some interesting things to say about being a double-digit underdog. You can text us on the Edgar Steiner & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Steiner & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. You can follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer, locations in Wexford, North Huntington, and Uniontown. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. And you can watch live video of the proceedings in here. Take a look at 937thefan.com. Go to shows and go to live video. Two pretty good cards today from the General Patton. You can listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. So, up on the website right now from Jeff Patton of the Baseball Card Castle is a TJ Watt mosaic, whatever that means, Ron. It's a mosaic.
I asked him to explain it, and I'm still not sure what it is, but it sounds valuable and nice.
Man, it sure does. And the other card was a Geno Malkin with a little swatch of a game-used jersey in there from, I think he said, 09. So a couple of real timely treats up there. Speaking of treats, Ben with the media today, we're in the middle of that conversation. Let's resume it, Ron, shall we? Here's the rest of Ben.
Yeah, that's important. I mean, a guy that kind of says the same things over and over. And, you know, is like you say, consistency at a time like this is important.
Ron, that wasn't exactly a glowing review of Mike Tomlin there, was it?
It was not. That's what I was thinking, too. Because, you know, a lot of the other players talked about glowingly about him and his consistencies, never up, never down. And that one was kind of a lukewarm reaction, wasn't it?
My goodness. What did he say? Yeah, it's important. A guy that says the same things over and over. What do you know from people around there, Ben, other people, insiders, about the nature of their relationship over the years? What would you say?
I would say functional. I don't think it was not Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, atomic bomb type relationship where they had to make a choice between the quarterback and the coach. I think Ben, I think they respect each other. They are able to work together. I don't know if they have a warm, fuzzy relationship, though, by any stretch. Guy like Joe Hayden, for instance, who was just gushes every time he talks about Tomlin.
Everybody did this week.
But, I mean, Hayden's been doing it all since he got here, really, and maybe that's a product of being with how many different coaches in Cleveland. He gushes about Mike. Ben never has done that, never.
A guy that says the same things over and over again. I can't get over that quote.
It's important.
I can't get over the lack of enthusiasm in that quote. Listen, you work with somebody that long, and it's no different than this business. Egos are very, very large. And I think it's a triumph to be able to have what you described as a functional relationship. I think in the end,
right,
that is a triumph, and that works because you're going to have very different ideas about the best way toward winning. You're together all the time, like you and I. It's just like a marriage.
Well, I mean, look at it this way, Joe. I mean, look how the Patriots and Brady ended up.
Yes.
I'll bet that wasn't more than functional for several years.
Right.
I mean, but they were able to put aside their differences for the
right
good of the team, and I think that's what Ben and Tomlin have done here for 15 years.
Good point.
You know, maybe not great friends, but work together, coexist. And again, the way the Brady thing ended, you can't tell me they always got along in New England.
Oh, no, there were stories of the last several years. I just watched the Beatles documentary. When you have people operating
at a
high level creatively, you know,
right,
in this type of industry, pro sports, music, whatever it might be, entertainment, it's going to be that way. And I thought that Beatles documentary was very telling. Because it was the last thing they ever did together. They were in their late 20s at that point? Maybe? I mean, you can only do it for so long, as a lot of people discover in relationships of any kind. People change, things change, circumstances change. So I consider their relationship, the only thing that matters is what it produced. Could it have produced more? Probably. But it's pretty damn good when you look at it in the end. You look at the complete resume.
Another way to look at that is, you know, Ben never got over Hines calling him out on national television.
Yeah.
For not playing in that game. It was I thought, a despicable act by Hines to do that to a teammate on that level of national TV. But that Ben never held it against him. He threw it to him the next week, threw to him the next year, threw to him the next year. They were never buddies, but they were very functional at a high level.
Yes.
Very functional.
What can we do together to win?
Right. We don't have to go get a beer after practice.
That's right.
So I think that's
look at the Bulls. We all watched The Last Dance when that was on.
I think that's
a good
example.
Anybody was buddies with Dennis Rodman outside of, you know?
Right. But they did what they had to do to win.
Horse?
You stuck your head in and you said, hey, how you doing? At that point, did you remember what you said to him other than that? And did you figure that he would be today?
I don't remember exactly what was said. I do remember that, you know, peeking my head in. I don't know if anybody. I mean, he expected to be this good, but man, is he taking off, and he's a fun football player to watch. I have a lot of respect for him and what he's able to do, and his abilities, and the way he can throw the ball and run the ball. And he's
Mahomes,
an all around great football player. And I just hope this week he doesn't play well. Yeah, you know, it is very important that you understand how important, like I talked about, every single play is and whatnot. There's going to be a storm. You have to weather it. You know, you hope that you are able to produce a little bit of storm for them too. But, you know, it's just understand the importance of every play. You know, but it is a fine balance and not put too much pressure on yourself. You know, but listen, we're just going to go out and play carefree and, like, you know, whatever happens, happens.
You win the toss in this one. You want the ball or you want the second half?
I had to look at the weather a little closer. I think there's a big part to do with that if there's any weather issues.
Ben, when you have a rough game, you often say, like, we look at the film and then we delete it and we move on. This is 3 weeks after you've seen these guys that didn't go well. So, how, I mean, do you make yourself go over it again, or is it a totally new
No, we definitely look at it again and look at their other opponents that they've played since us and just see if they're doing anything different. So, at this point, no stone. You can't leave any stone unturned.
You and Mike T have won a lot of football games together. What is it about your relationship that's kind of helped the two of you get to this point?
I think, longevity, communication. I think any relationship, no matter what it is, when you communicate with each other well, you can get along and things can understand. And even when you don't get along, you can understand each other. So I just think we communicate well.
A couple more. Did you change your coin toss call?
I did. Didn't matter. It doesn't matter. I tried to mix it up and it didn't work.
Last one. Ben, you mentioned playing carefree. The last couple of playoff games you guys have been in, you've been at home, you've been favorites, you've been a top seed, and now this is different. I mean, in a way, is it? It's one thing to say, hey, we're carefree, but I mean, this way, does it really feel like it's, getting up to lose?
Yeah, I mean, we're probably 20-point underdogs, and we're going to the number one team that's, I know they're not the number one seed, but they're the number one team that's won the AFC the last 2 years. Arguably the best team in football. We don't have a chance. So let's just go in and play and have fun.
Now he says it's a 20-point underdog. By Friday, it's going to be 50-point underdog.
For some people, it is.
They're going to play that no respect card. They always do. And if they lose, we'll never hear about it again. But if they win, man, it'll be thrown back in your face. Nobody thought we could do it. We were dead coming in. They'll play that card.
Here's the thing. There were plays to be made the last time around. That's the best way I can articulate it. I went back and looked again and was listening to Romo and looking at the game. Classic example, they had the wide receiver screen set up to the right and the left. Ben made the wrong choice. He goes left on that play. It's Claypool. There were at least two other plays just like that. Kansas City is ultra aggressive. And I think that should play into Ben's hands. He didn't have a good game. He didn't. From a thinking standpoint against them the last time, I think he could this time. And I think if the receivers come to play, Claypool is a gigantic key. I forget who was on him, but he was better than whoever was. And he just didn't make enough plays. Ron?
Well, it'll help if the defense doesn't give up four consecutive scoring drives to Kansas City to start
sure.
the game.
They took
the opening kickoff, right, I believe, and went right down the field.
Right.
Short passes, not all big gains or anything.
Right.
Right down the field.
Having a healthy T.J. Watt will help to curtail that, I would imagine.
And they'll tell you having a healthy Travis Kelce will add to the problems. So you're talking about, one guy who's, a defensive MVP guy, and Kelce, you could argue, is pretty high on the list of offensive weapons.
He's really good. So, there's no doubt. But I'll take my chances with T.J. Watt getting after the quarterback and getting after Mahomes. He was useless.
Well, he better not just get after him. He better get to him a few times, too.
Yeah. Pressure him.
Right.
But also you need Ben not to throw it to them early in the game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because that contributed to the offensive onslaught was that idiotic flea flicker call by Matt Canada that Charlie Batch ripped on Twitter right when it happened.
Well, said, how can you run a flea flicker if you can't run the ball?
Right.
It's not a
– right.
You're not fooling anybody.
Yes. So that contributed. It was a disaster. I don't think it's going to be. I don't think they play two disastrous games against this team, Ron. I'm not ready to say they're going to win the game because I can envision a scenario where Mahomes pulls it out late. I can. She's done so many times. I happen to think it's going to be a competitive game. Not only are people not giving the Steelers a chance, they're just ripping them.
Ridiculing
like
them.
They shouldn't be here.
Who's the
guy
on
Fox? What
did
Nick Wright say? Nick Wright said,
This is better than a bye.
Yeah.
You can work up a sweat and get ready for the next game.
Right. Zero chance. Come on. It's the NFL.
And
we're not talking about the NCAA tournament where you have, UNC Charlotte or Belmont or somebody, although I think Belmont did have an upset. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a team that has three stars on defense, one at every level.
Yeah, Cam, Watt, Minka.
Yeah, and a healthier Joe Hayden, maybe, than the last time out. I'm interested. I'm fascinated with the whole thing. And with this story, I am too. What about the GM position? Doug Whaley, who knows all these guys, worked high up in the Steelers organization, ran the Buffalo Bills. He had thoughts about what the succession plan should be. if Kevin Colbert steps down. I want to ask Ron about that next, and Ed Bouchette for that matter, at the top of the hour. You can watch live video of the proceedings here. Go to 93.7thefan.com. Go to shows and go to live video. All right, Ron, we saw the report, I don't know, last week, maybe the week before, about Kevin Colbert. I think it was from Ian Rapoport.
That was just Sunday morning.
Seemed to indicate that he will want to step down. Jerry Dulac said that not so fast, although Jerry wouldn't be surprised if Colbert steps down at all, but he hasn't told any of Jerry's sources definitively that he will. But we all agree, I'm sure, that there's a very distinct possibility that Kevin Colbert could step down at some point. Then it becomes, all right, who's next? Doug Whaley. We have every Wednesday here with the Fan Morning Show, and he was interesting today. And then I talked to him for a minute after, and he told me what he said on the air, reiterated. He thinks the best route to go, a lot of people think, should it be Omar Khan, who's been around forever, mentioned for a lot of jobs? Should it be Brandon Hunt? Doug's solution was, what about both and let him share the role, where you have Omar doing the majority of what he's doing anyway, the contracts, the money part of the game, and Brandon Hunt maybe more on the personnel side, although each guy, Doug said, could learn the other part of the business. And you're telling me that Ed Bouchette mentioned today that Doug Whaley himself, I don't know if he addressed that today or not, I didn't hear the whole segment.
Ed mentioned him as a possibility.
What do you think?
Because he worked with the Steelers and then he was in Buffalo. You know, I like Omar a lot, but his background is in the business side of this. I don't know if he's going to be good at going to the Senior Bowl and evaluating the offensive tackles. You know what I mean? I love the way he runs the salary cap. You know, he's managed to dance around that as well as anybody. But I don't know that he's really qualified to be the GM from the football side. Now, if you can do both, Brandon Hunt clearly is, but he doesn't have the background and the business side that Omar does, but I don't think Colbert does either. I mean, I think Omar does the business side of it. I mean, if Omar's willing to stay in that role, give him a promotion, give him more money, and then have Brandon Hunt be Kevin Colbert, I think it'd be a great idea.
Seems to
but
make
I
sense.
I don't know that, you know, eventually egos get in the way. And
but maybe, isn't that what they're doing anyway?
That's what they are now, but I'm just saying, if Colbert's gone, maybe Omar wants that job.
Maybe.
You know, doesn't want to have to work with somebody again. And he's interviewed for all these jobs. He's terrific with the numbers, but I don't know about evaluating talent.
Well, it sounds like he would just keep doing his role, and maybe Brandon Hunt, while he would be elevated, would keep doing his role.
Right.
And but yeah, you never know. I don't know any of these people well enough. What do you know about Brandon Hunt?
I don't know much of anything about him. I know Omar. But I don't know much of anything about him. And if they both would be willing to do that, then I think it would be a great situation.
Is your gut feel that Colbert will step down?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, especially getting him into the playoffs this year. You know, maybe if they had not made it, maybe, you know, we keep hearing Ed say, you know, he doesn't want to go out with them, you know, in the toilet, so to speak. He's been working on one-year deals. I think he's told Art Rooney, you know, I just want to go year to year. He's 64, 65 now. I think, you know, that he could retire after the draft. I could absolutely see that.
Do you think the Steelers would go outside the organization? I mean, I see some names here. Dan Morgan out of in Carolina's organization, who's regarded as a rising star, 43 years old. He played in the NFL. You remember him as a linebacker. He was director of player personnel for the Bills, and now he's the assistant GM with the Panthers. Somebody like that, or you think Art Rooney is inclined to promote from within?
Well, we can ask Ed about this when he comes on, but he pointed out that they've always preferred somebody they know, you know, whether it was Colbert had, you know, as a North Catholic guy, had been around here. Tom Donahoe, you know, was from around here. Dick Haley played at Pitt, you know, Todd Haley's dad way back when. So I would think it might be one of the guys in-house that they would promote.
Yeah, I'm thinking they would probably want to go that way as well. All right,
and Ron. And the other side of this is, if you're going to be the GM of the Steelers, and I'm convinced that this is one of the reasons, I think Colbert has had a hell of a run here. Not perfect by any stretch, but you got to be able to get along with the head coach.
Yes.
And Bill Cowher was not an easy guy to get along with. Colbert did, because he put his ego aside. I don't think Mike Tomlin necessarily may be an easy guy to get along with. Colbert was able to put his ego aside.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of this.
Big.
You know, so you promote one of these guys, Tomlin knows them already. That would make the transition maybe a little bit easier.
I guess it's that mode of thinking versus, listen,
fresh blood might help.
It's very exciting for many people that the Steelers are in the playoffs, but they lose, they get blown out. It is no playoff wins in 5 years. It is largely treading around 500 three of the last 4 years. What about some outside blood?
Right. Bring in some new ideas, some new voices.
I can see both sides of that equation. BetQL helps you make smarter bets throughout the football season, and now they're giving you a chance to win cash prizes. BetQL's Giving Props is a weekly free-to-play contest that runs throughout the pro football playoffs. Go to betql.com/props right now. BetQL has posted 10 props around this weekend's games, and the person with the most correct picks this week wins $2,000. Just by signing up, you'll automatically be entered into a random grand prize drawing for $10,000. Head over to betql.com/props and make your picks today. Ron, some of these picks are interesting. How about Tom Brady over under 294.5 passing yards?
Well, I love the way they come up with these. 294.5. I'd probably say over.
So would I.
Gronk is going to.
I think that game.
If AB was playing, I might feel a little better.
I know. I think that game, as Chelsea Messenger said, has a chance for the Eagles to cover. But I'd be inclined, even more so if it's a close game, to put Brady over. Deebo Samuel, over 36.5 rushing yards. I love the over there. That guy's a weapon. I think the Steelers see Chase Claypool as capable of being that kind of guy for them. He was their leading rusher in the last game.
Keep giving it to him. They do on those end rounds, jet sweeps, reverses. Absolutely they do.
Travis Kelce, over under 87.5 receiving yards.
I'm going to say over on that one.
Me too. He could get that on a couple plays. But with him, it's the same idea with Andrews. He's going to get his. But what was it with Andrews? 16 targets, 8 catches, 85 yards. I'll sign up for that, but I'll go over. He'll be around 100. Najee Harris, 77.5 rushing yards.
I'd probably go under on that one.
I'm going to go over. I think this is a different – I mean, it makes a difference when your center isn't getting pushed back. That sounds very simplistic, and it is. They have a different center who's frankly been a better player, and to me that changes everything at the point of attack. It does.
It does.
I'm going to go over on that one. All right, Ron.
Eric, Ed, I got Ed Bouchette on my mind. Joe, did you see it? There was an interesting signing today by the Los Angeles Rams. They're bringing a guy out of retirement just for the playoffs.
Kaepernick.
Eric Weddle, the safety.
Wow.
Signed with the Rams today. Going to be eligible for the playoffs.
Did he play anywhere?
I don't think he's
played.
When's
the last time he played?
I think probably last year. I think he retired after last year.
Wow.
Interesting name, because he was involved in the big chest extension play.
Yes.
Here a couple Christmases ago, he and C.J. Mosley could not keep big chest out of the end zone.
Orlando Brown will be the matchup for T.J. Watt. And I'm just noticing, I didn't see the story. Leading up to the first game, he thought, Brown said, in my opinion, Watt should have been defensive player of the year for the last 2 years, but Aaron Donald does what he does too. That was a matchup that Brown won. I don't think he's going to win this one.
You're going to throw bouquets at that guy, though, when you're playing against him.
True.
You know what I mean? You're not going to say, you know, he's good, but he's not the defensive
player. It'll get brought up if they see the Rams in the Super Bowl, right, though, I bet.
Right. He's not going to say, you know, he's good, but he's not the defensive player of the year candidate.
He's somebody that very rarely are you able to keep him off a stat sheet. Well, that's exactly what happened that day. Is that Watt wound up with one tackle. But I think, man, I just don't think a great player is going to have three almost futile playoff performances to start his career. I'm predicting a huge day for T.J. Watt. Best defensive player in the game.
And he wasn't very good against Cleveland.
last year, no, and he didn't get much done against, nobody did against Jacksonville in his first playoff game. Right. All right, Ed Bouchette coming up next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, Route 19 in the South Hills. Start the new year off with a great deal. Breezy, not as cold today, high of 40, cloudy tomorrow, and a high of 40. Ed Bouchette next.